So sweet-potato whitefly has been a factor in field crop production in California for decades. So it's not really a new pest. It's been present for many years. But starting in the late 1980s and early 1990s, the situation changed in that we came up with a new strain of sweet potato whitefly called the strain B. It's typically what it's called now. And this is a much more severe pest. It was first found in the San Joaquin Valley in the early 1990s, and then about 1994 started infesting cotton and became a factor in cotton production in about 1994. One of the key factors about this new strain is this wide host range, and this really fits, unfortunately, California conditions very well in that we have a high crop diversity. This shows about a 20 by 20 square mile area in one of our major production counties, and each color represents a different crop. So we have a high crop diversity, and this whitefly definitely takes advantage of that by infesting a sequence of crops as you move throughout the year or throughout the growing season. Over the years, our PCAs have learned to deal with this whitefly. It's really the most significant problem in the southern end of the San Joaquin Valley, our major production area, the eastern side of the San Joaquin Valley, and then adjacent to cities. I see here adjacent to Visalia, Bakersfield, some of our larger cities. It overwinters in the cities and then moves out during the spring into crop production areas. So the PCAs have learned to deal with this whitefly, and it has been a factor, but not a major factor in cotton production over the years. Most of our recommendations for this whitefly came out of the University of Arizona. They came up with this new strain of whitefly about 5 years before we did. They did excellent research on it, and we've really adopted their recommendations for use in California. We developed some brochures and had informational meetings and outreach sessions, but the actual research basis for managing this whitefly came out of the University of Arizona. And some of the key tenets of this research and management are just the basic principles of IPM. You use thresholds and rotate chemistries and grow cotton in as short a season as possible, et cetera, et cetera. You know, no real silver bullets, but these are some of the things that we promote in terms of managing this whitefly. Cotton aphid is the other insect that's a major problem for cotton production during the late part of the season. And quite frankly, from the mid-1990s to present, cotton aphid has been a more severe pest than whiteflies in the San Joaquin Valley. We have really conducted the lion's share of the research on cotton aphids. Unlike whiteflies, which is done in Arizona, we've done most of the cotton aphid research. And some of the things that we've looked at over the years, cotton aphid biology, effective natural enemies, thresholds, resistance, insecticide efficacy, some of the factors that influence cotton aphid populations, cultural factors, developing or implementing new types of biological control agents. So a whole series of studies that we've done on cotton aphid over the year. And the key problem or key time that these pests are a problem is late season. Protecting lint quality is of utmost importance in California. We don't have late season rains. We have a warm, open fall. And, you know, we really have to struggle to reduce incidence of honeydew from aphids and whiteflies, and that's really been the key concern with managing these two pests. If you look at the insecticides that are being used over the years on whiteflies, these are products that would only pretty much be used on whiteflies. You can see we peaked at about, 60,000 acres. I can't quite read it here. 80,000 acres treated for whiteflies during the early 2000s. We're now down around 20,000, 30,000 acres treated for each of the two insect growth regulators. And a couple of products that would primarily be used on aphids, you can see we're up around 200,000 acres treated per year for these products against aphids, primarily used for aphids. Situation changed with whiteflies in 2013 in that we got whitefly populations much earlier in the year, about July. The populations did not go away, as they typically do. They continue to build up. And we had whitefly infestations in areas that we typically don't see them. They were not adjacent to the cities. They were not at the edge of the San Joaquin Valley. they were in the middle of the San Joaquin Valley. So something changed with this insect in about 2013, and the last 2 years, sweet-potato whitefly has been a very significant pest of us. We also have had aphids in some areas during these last 2 years. What was the change? Well, we've had warmer than normal spring and summer the last 2 years. This might potentially lead to about one additional generation of the whitefly. Not sure if that's a major factor or not, but it is reality. But what it did allow us to do was to develop some current management information on this whitefly. This is the last efficacy work I did with insecticides in 2003. You can see many of the products were very effective in terms of managing whitefly nymphs, but quite frankly, we have new chemistries now, and we just had not done any work with these new chemistries against sweet potato whitefly. So the infestations that we had the last 2 years gave us the opportunity to do some new and current work. Why is this an issue? Well, we've lost chemistries, as everyone knows. Many of the OPs have gone away. Indosulfan, which we sometimes use for whitefly, has gone away. Belay is really restricted, so it can't be used in San Joaquin Valley much. Chlorpyrifos is being changed in terms of how it might be used. The neonicotinoids are not working as well on aphids as they used to, so that's a factor. And again, this late season period is always very challenging. Fortunately, we have new active ingredients coming on board. So again, we have the opportunity with these high infestations, high populations, to do some current efficacy work. And that's what I'd like to report on. So in 2013, pretty much a standard efficacy test against whiteflies and aphids. We made the applications, two applications. One of them was in mid-August, and the second one was in early September. You can see some of the details here. 20 gallons per acre is what we made the applications at. We monitored aphid and whitefly populations for about 5 weeks, took yield samples and sticky lint samples for stickiness, etc. The one thing I'll point out from this trial is that we had very high aphid populations and very persistent populations. This shows cotton aphids per leaf, and many times we'll have a spike and then population will quickly crash. In this study, we had high aphid populations for about 5 weeks. And you can see there the average was about 100 aphids per leaf over this entire 5 or 6 week sampling period. Whitefly nymphs started out fairly low but built up, you can see here, to 100 or so nymphs per leaf. So very high whitefly nymph populations. And then whitefly adults were obviously also present, and you can see the adult population. We had a whole series of treatments. Some of these were more targeting whiteflies. Some of them were more targeted towards aphids. The rates were some of them were more of a whitefly rate, some were more of an aphid rate. Just to quickly go through a few of the results, and I don't recommend that you try to look at every single line here, but this is 4 sampling dates after application, and the untreated ones are right here, and this is cotton aphids. And you can just compare the height of some of these bars to the untreated, and you can see things such as a sail worked very well against aphids. Carbene worked very well. Many of the products worked quite well against cotton aphid. That was after the first application. After the second application, again, the untreateds are over here, and you can see many of these in 5 sampling days after that second application. Many of the products worked very well against aphids. A little bit different story against whiteflies in that, again, same setup to the slide, number of whitefly nymphs per leaf. Over here is the untreated, and you can see that the 4 sampling dates after that first application, not a whole lot of whitefly control. I mean, in some cases, the bars are a little bit lower than the untreated, but not really that great of whitefly control. After the second application, again, untreated over here, we're starting to get some whitefly control from Asail, from NAC, from Savanto, the primary products that gave us fairly good whitefly control. If you look at average over the entire study, again, here's the untreated for cotton aphids, 100 aphids per leaf, and average over the entire sampling period, you know, fairly good control from many of the aphid products that I've already mentioned. If you look at whitefly control, untreated over here, the best whitefly control we got from the 2 applications was about 60%, and that was from NAC, or from one of the Asail applications, and Savanto was also fairly good against whiteflies. Yield effects were not outstanding. At this part of the season, the cotton yield is for the most part already made. So the yields range from about 1,200 pounds down to about 950 pounds. So not huge yield impacts. Switching gears to 2014 studies, same setup to the study. The one difference was we upped the gallonage to 30 gallons per acre, hoping to get better white fly control, get better coverage on that, on those leaf underside of the leaves. Slightly longer list of treatments in 2014, unfortunately, and when we went to sample the plots, we didn't like the longer list of treatments, but many of the same treatments that we had in 2013, we repeated those in 2014. I'm not going to go into any of the aphid data. We're pretty comfortable with what we saw with aphids in 2013. Just go right to the whitefly data, and the untreated is over here in terms of whitefly populations per nymph. And you can see that after the application, we did get some whitefly control, perhaps better than we saw in 2013. Again, Asale, Oberon, Courier, Knack were some of the better whitefly products. After the second application, whitefly nymphs per leaf, again here in the untreated, up to about 200 nymphs per leaf. And you can see many of the products look pretty good for whiteflies after that second application. Again, Asale, Oberon, Courier, Knack, Savanto are the main ones that look pretty good. And just to average the entire sampling period in terms of white flies, you can see here's the untreated, and many of the bars were considerably lower in terms of white fly populations. Yield impacts, again, not great. Some slight reduction in yield, but not... We didn't expect to see much in terms of yield, and we didn't see much. In terms of stickiness evaluations, just to summarize very quickly, in 2013, we hand-harvested lint in early October, and the only lint that was not sticky was from the Sale plus Landicide treatment and the Savanto treatment. At the normal harvest time in November, all the lint was sticky from every single treatment. It was classified as sticky, sometimes more than three times the threshold value for stickiness. 2014, we hand-harvested lint in November the 10th, and only the Courier treatment was classified as sticky. I will point out in 2014, we had an untimely rainfall event, which never happens in Bakersfield, except when you're trying to do sticky evaluations. You get rainfall when you don't want it. So the half inch of rainfall probably removed a lot of the stickiness. So in summary, in terms of cotton aphid control, I think several of the registered products really shined. Sale, Carbene, Lorsban, some of the products that are nearing registration, Pyroflunkazone, Torac, Transform, which we don't have registered in California, so that's why it says nearing registration, and Savanto looked good for aphids. We still have a problem during that late season period. We looked at a couple of organic treatments in 2014, and Metarhizium and the plus Azagard and Botanigard plus Azagard both looked pretty good. Then for whitefly, just to summarize the whitefly results, you know, some of the registered products, Asale, Knack, Oberon, Courier, Dentol Orthene, looked good for whiteflies. Some of the products that are nearing registration, the Pyroflunkazone and Savanto, also look pretty good for white flies. But again, I'll point out the best white fly control we got was about 65 to 70%, which I'd expect to see, hope to see a little bit better from two applications made for white flies. So I think my time's up, and I'll try to answer a question if I have time. 1 minute for questions, I hear. Yeah, the question was about gallons per acreage, and if I could comment, we used 20 gallons per acre, 2013, 30 gallons in 2014. Yeah, quite frankly, commercially, the application is going to be made by air, and it's going to be, you know, 5 gallons at most. So, I mean, they just can't get in by ground equipment during this late season period. So, So the values we use were certainly exorbitant compared with what a grower would use. But we wanted to do everything. Yeah, we wanted to do everything we could to maximize control, see the best control we could possibly get. All right, thank you.